the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
And so next week we have the World Cup. The World Cup in the United States, Canada, and Mexico that is going on without us. Anyway, that's that. We'll still enjoy some of it, won't we? Although, are there too many matches? Are they going to be played at the wrong time of day and evening, given the weather in those countries? Are there too many games going to be going on with too many substandard teams? The person we've asked to join us to look at all of the big issues around America, Canada, Mexico getting ready for the World Cup before we do our big preview next Thursday of the games themselves is Dave Hannigan, of course, based in New York and author of We Need to Talk About Roy, The Keenification of Modern Ireland. Dave, thanks very much for joining us. So, World Cup in the United States. Story of the last couple of days. You can't bring a bottle of water into the stadium with you. What's that one about?
It's about fleecing the fans. Everything in this World Cup is about fleecing the fans at every possible turn. Okay, they don't want you to be able to refill a reusable water bottle because Coca-Cola have their water brand Dasani in the stadiums, and they want you to pay $6 for a bottle of water, which is kind of normal in American sports stadiums, unfortunately, when you're attending a game. But that's what that's about. The whole thing is about the shakedown. You know, this is the ultimate. I think all World Cups are a little bit like this, but this is taking it to the next level, like shaking people down at every possible turn. Like, you know, to get to a game at MetLife Stadium, if it's an NFL game, it usually costs you $12 for a train from Penn Station to MetLife. Now it's $98 on the days of World Cup matches. Same train journey from Boston to Gillette Stadium, usually $20. That's $80 on the days of these games. So at every turn, they want to fleece people.
Okay, there's so much there I want to get back and unpack. Actually, I'll stay with the train tickets. Who's making the money out of this? Is that FIFA or is that the train operators or the state?
Oh, no, that's the train operators. Like, that's the New Jersey Transit in this case will be making the money. And then, you know, to go for, okay, I'll rent a car and I'll drive to the game. It's usually $60 to park at a New England Patriots game. They have a lot of parking by Gillette Stadium. $60 tip for a game. It's $175 for a World Cup match.
Is this on the basis that if they were to do that to fans who go back on a regular basis, there'd be uproar, but they're gambling these are one-off attendees who'll take been ripped off for the World Cup experience because they don't expect to be back in that stadium again?
Absolutely. And to give you an idea, New Jersey Transit initially said the $12 ticket was going to be $150. And then they said, all right, we're going a little too far. We'll just go back to 98. We'll roll back to 98. And, you know, just to put this in context, like I remember going to Japan for the World Cup in 2002 and buying the monthly rail pass for Japan Rail or whatever it was called. And it was just the same as it always was. You know, there was no hiking. There was no kind of, you know, let's rip you off because you're coming to our country for a couple of weeks.
Okay. And go back to the water thing, because only 3 weeks ago, FIFA's official stadium code of conduct put in a clause saying, for the avoidance of doubt, empty, transparent, reusable plastic bottles up to 1 litre in capacity may be brought into the stadium. And clearly they were put under pressure by Coca-Cola to get rid of that.
I would imagine that, yes. I mean, I think
that's a reasonable assumption, I think, isn't it?
FIFA got told, we pay a lot of money to be associated with this. We're going to tell you what the policy is. You won't be telling us what the policy is. And remember, these games are going to be played in searing heat. A lot of these stadiums do not have roofs, you know. You're going to be boiling to death in these stadiums. You're going to have to buy water.
Well, indeed, because I'm sure there are many people listening who were at the World Cup in 1994, like you and I would have been fortunate enough to be there. I think you were there, weren't you?
No, I wasn't actually.
I
wasn't there in 94.
All right, okay. Well, I was lucky enough to be in the Giant Stadium the day that Ireland beat Italy. But one of the things I remember, as well as the brilliance of the day and Paul McGrath's performance, was the heat. The heat was extraordinary, and that wasn't as bad as it was for the Irish fans going on into Orlando subsequently.
Yeah, and if you remember, obviously, the story of that was Steve Staunton struggling in the heat, which is another factor. I mean, there's the fans who are going to suffer in the stands, but also the players. You know, I think some players from Europe who aren't used to it are going to really struggle with some of the temperatures that they're expecting for a few of these games.
Okay, and of course, then what time have the times been chosen for television rather than actually for making it easier for the players?
Oh no, it's a television. I mean, this is a television. This is a television product. This is all about the TV market, you know.
But tell me, what way have the ticket sales gone? Because there's been enormous controversy about the way the tickets have been allocated and the pricing. And you know, it's a form of dynamic pricing. Have there been tickets released back at lower prices? Because have they been able to unable to sell in many stadiums for some of the games?
Well, you know, I'll just give you an idea. Now, like you're looking at you know, resale tickets or tickets on the resale market, $170 for Cape Verde versus Saudi Arabia.
You're kidding?
which is not, you know, and that's supposed to be like, you know, it's reasonable that everybody wants to see Cape Verde versus Saudi Arabia. There are ludicrous. The argument here, FIFA's argument, is, hey, it's in America. Every sports event in America costs a fortune. So the tickets are going to cost a fortune and Americans will pay it. Americans will pay it and people who come to support their countries because they're desperate to be at their country's game will pay it. And that's their justification for it. Obviously, I disagree with that, but that is, you know, it is ludicrously expensive. Like to go to watch the New York Knicks, two tickets for the New York Knicks will set you back the guts of $500-$600 and you'll be up in the nosebleed seats. And Americans, New Yorkers pay that, you know, on a regular basis. So, you know, the ticket prices are kind of the American standard, if you like, but it's ludicrous to us. I mean, I looked at going to a game in Patriot Stadium, Gillette Stadium, and, you know, to get there from me, which is about 3 hours and stay overnight, I can go to England and go to Birmingham and stay with my friend and bring the lads to Villa Park and maybe another game in the region for about the same as what it would cost me for one trip to one World Cup match in Gillette Stadium.
That is ludicrous.
That puts it in context.
But are there going to be empty seats in the stadiums, do you think? Because are they just going to keep the elevated resale prices or will they drop them at the last minute to try and fill the grounds?
Well, you would think at the last summer, the Club World Cup, which was a bit of a damn squib, obviously, and which was supposed to be a forerunner for this, a road testing for this World Cup. They were selling tickets at the last minute for $10 for Chelsea games for that competition. So, you know, on the day you could buy a ticket for that. So I don't know about the MTC. I think some of the games, like, you know, Jordan versus Algeria, you know, I don't see how that's going to fill. Congo versus Uzbekistan in Atlanta. Again, you know, tickets for that are currently going for almost $300.
This also brings in the question, how many people from many of these countries are actually travelling in? I mean, how would they be able to afford to go to the United States? And also, would they be able to get visas to go in?
Well, there's a number of things there, Matt, like the visa firstly, the hotels were charging premium pricing and FIFA had block booked hotels to drive the prices up, to ramp the prices up in the hotels. And FIFA have now had to admit that they don't need many of the hotel rooms that they block booked. So I don't know, will the hotels eventually, I know the hotels, you know, in Atlanta, Dallas, Kansas City, they're reporting massive amount of empty rooms that they did not expect to have, like 50% less than they expected by this time, 80 or 90% in Kansas City, actually. They're in complete shock at the lack of hotel bookings. And then that feeds into the second point you're making about the visas. You know, there are countries, a lot of countries are currently blocked from visiting America. I think 40 plus countries, you cannot get a visa to visit the United States. And obviously we have the Iranian issue. The Iranian players are allowed in, but they have to go back to Mexico. They have to fly in and play games in America and then go back to Tijuana in Mexico.
On the same day? I mean, that seems brutally unfair. I don't think it's ever been, that I can think of, a requirement of teams. Normally they have a rule that they have to be in the host country for 24 hours beforehand.
Yeah, and you know the whole that's a competitive disadvantage there. I mean, one of their games is in Seattle, like, which is, you know, it's a long way from Tijuana in Mexico to Seattle. Some of their games are in California. That's less of a drag. But even still, I mean, no serious team would want to be flying in on the day of. So there's a lot kind of, you know, there's a lot to be seen with that. And in terms of whether certain countries will just have no supporters there. I mean, the whole point of a World Cup is every country has supporters, and that's the color and the pageantry of the whole carnival of this whole thing. I remember Cameroon and Ireland in Niigata, and you know, between the Japanese, the Irish, and the Cameroonians, it was quite the spectacle. You know, it was fantastic, and that's kind of what a World Cup is supposed to be. I don't think this is going to look like that.
I suspect they probably wish the Irish and the Italians had qualified to actually give big boost to the grounds that they would have played at. But will there be ICE agents, do you reckon, at the games? I know there's been assurances given, and ICE doesn't seem to be as active at present as it might have been in the early months of this year. But could it be
that... No, ICE is still very, very active.
Is it?
It just doesn't get the media. The media has moved on.
So does that mean, will they be going to the games and picking up people going to the games?
I mean, that remains to be seen. I mean, you know, they've said they won't, but, you know, obviously, you know, they've targeted Hispanic communities. Like, in a place like California, who's going to be going to soccer matches? You know, even to the fan fests, you know, which are these, you know, parties, outdoor parties where you can watch the games in and around the stadiums and stuff like that. I mean, again, you know, a lot of soccer fans here are Hispanic. They come from Hispanic communities, and they are the people that ICE is targeting. So you would worry that would be it. And another thing, Matt, that I just want to point out is, like, you know, obviously I'm here a long time in America. I can't believe how little excitement there is about this tournament. And I mean, I've been involved in soccer here for most of my time that I've been here. There is no excitement about this tournament. It's almost like the World Cup is coming, you know, eventually somebody's going to take notice. And in New York, I think we have a really odd situation that could be happening next week. Brazil will play Morocco at MetLife Stadium, which is just over the border in New Jersey, obviously. But that night, the New York Knicks, who haven't won a championship since 1973, could be winning the NBA title for the first time since 73. But they'll be playing in San Antonio, but I think the city of New York might catch fire on the night of that game, because these fans have been waiting half a century, and every victory this team gets, you know, people are taken to the streets. So that may explain why in New York, where I am, you know, there's no excitement about the World Cup, because the Knicks have kind of captured the imagination of the people for now, because they're on this incredible run of 12 wins in a row.
Funny you mentioned Brazil and Morocco. It's one of the few games in the first 10 days that I've bookmarked as a must-see. But just two more other things I want to ask you about, and goes back to actually the heat in the stadiums we were talking about earlier. We're getting used to now, I think the Champions League final had it as well, the mandatory water break in the middle of a half, which really does break up a game, even if it allows coaches to issue instructions, but it can really interrupt the flow of a game. We're having these. How long are they going to be? Because the suspicion is, rather than when we watch a game, you see the players milling around in the water break, is this going to be just merely there, not to the betterment of the players, but to provide another TV advertising opportunity?
Well, I think it's both. I think I think players do need a hydration break. I don't know if you saw, the Americans were playing a friendly last week, and they turned it into a full-on tactical session where Pochettino busted out the old iPad and had the players huddled around during the water break, and, you know, was making a tactical change. So, I mean, look, it makes physiological sense for them to have water breaks, but there's no doubt that the advertisers are going to love this.
And then finally, let's look forward to the 19th of July, the World Cup final and the halftime show. And we've been promised that it'll be all done within 15 minutes. It won't, though, will it? This is going to be an abomination. A 15-minute break in a World Cup final is going to become what, do you think?
Well, they say the show will be 11 minutes, but if you ever watch the Super Bowl halftime show, The Super Bowl halftime show, half of the time is given over to setting up the stage. Even the most basic stage requires, you know, people running on, like these hundreds of workers pushing this thing into place. I can see it being done in 15 minutes. And that really is, again...
And you know, 11 minutes for the performance. Yeah. And I tell you, the TV advertisers will want more than 4 minutes out of the 15 as well.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's Madonna, whom obviously people of our generation will know. Madonna, Matt, that's good. Shakira, who we kind of know. And then K-pop boy band BTS, who obviously I don't know those people. But
you know more than you should have of what's going on at halftime in the final. Dave, we will talk to you again during the World Cup. Thank you very much for taking the time to join us this evening from New York.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.